In July, Governor Cuomo signed legislation expanding the state's definition of telemarketing to include marketing by text messages in recognition of the fact that more and more unwanted outreach is coming in the form of texts. To explore the ramifications of this change in state law, as well as other bills that passed the legislature this year, we're joined by Maureen Mahoney, a senior policy analyst with Consumer Reports. Welcome to the show, Maureen.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Maureen, what protections will be afforded New Yorkers as the result of this expanded definition of telemarketing to also include text messaging?
So first of all, robocalls are incredibly frustrating. Consumers' phones are ringing off the hook, and oftentimes these calls are a vector for scams to enter consumers' homes. They're very difficult to control, and text messages raise a lot of the same issues as robocalls, again, often being a vector for scams. So with Assembly Bill 6040 being signed into law, New Yorkers will have new protections over certain unsolicited text messages that can be just as annoying and disruptive as phone calls. So New York is extending the existing do not call protections to text messages. So that means that the company can't use an auto dialer or automated means to send text messages without the recipient's permission. And even if a company is hand dialing a text, if your number is on the do not call registry, the federal one, then under this new measure, they're not allowed to text you. So that should cut down on the number of spam texts, particularly from legitimate companies that are incentivized to follow the law.
Well, when you mentioned that issue of permission, does that refer to, say, maybe I bought something and there was some fine print and they said, is it okay if we contact you? Or maybe I signed up for something online and there was that question they posed to me. Those kind of text messages you still might receive?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say how consent will be interpreted. Okay. I think that consumers will have to be really careful about, you know, unthinkingly checking a box that would permit these messages, may have to carefully review the terms of service. So unfortunately, companies often use complicated ways to continue to deliver these text messages without consumers knowing consent. So that will be something to continue to look out for.
And I was intrigued by what you said about who the players are in this space that'll be more likely to comply with this change in law. Does that suggest that while these reputable companies who might be using these text messages for marketing will stop this kind of messaging, there are some actors in this space who, despite the law, will just flaunt it and risk potential penalties?
Yeah, that's a big problem with robocalls and robotexts. I mean, a lot of these messages are illegal without the consumer's consent, but unfortunately, a lot of them are coming from fraudsters, oftentimes located overseas. They're very difficult to track down and bring to justice. Oftentimes, by the time you do track them down, they've already spent all of their ill-gotten gains. So that's why we also push for technology, for companies to be required to provide tools that block unwanted calls and texts before they reach the consumer. This is a lot more developed in the robocall space. It's more emergent in the text space. But in the case of text, you can report spam text to your phone company by forwarding it to 7726 or SPAM. So that can be a technological way to help reduce these texts. And some call blocking apps also block spam text messages. So it could be worth looking into various apps that are available as well.
Well, I guess then in that same vein, I want to turn to another bill that deals with proactively blocking calls from certain numbers. I think it's Assembly Bill 268, which also passed the legislature this year and is waiting to be delivered and potentially signed by the governor. How would that measure work if it was signed into law?
Yeah, so that would codify something that was permitted by the Federal Communications Commission back in 2017. So at the time, the FCC was looking for ways to give phone companies more leeway to crack down on fraudulent calls, to block them. Historically, they've been wary about phone companies blocking calls without the recipient's permission because you don't want to accidentally block legitimate calls. But robocalls had gotten so bad that the FCC needed to do more. So they said the phone companies could block certain clearly fraudulent calls that they see coming through their systems. And one of those types of calls was if the owner of the number, so it could be a bank or a credit card company, says, you know, okay, there are scammers entering my number into the caller ID to make it seem like this fraudulent call is legitimately from your bank, but we never use that number to make outbound calls. So if a phone company sees that coming through their network, they should block it. So the FCC said in 2017 that phone companies may block these calls. This bill would say that phone companies shall block these calls. So it could be a call, you know, from a number requested by the owner of it. It could be a clearly fraudulent number on the caller ID, like it doesn't have 10 digits or it hasn't been allocated for use. So that phone companies, you know, shall block those calls. So I think it's going to be relatively rare that you do have calls like that, especially because fraudsters will stop spoofing those numbers because they know they're going to be blocked. But it's another thing that phone companies could do to crack down on clearly fraudulent calls.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking about measures in New York designed to address robocalls and unwanted text messages. And our guest is Maureen Mahoney, a senior policy analyst with Consumer Reports. I get calls sometimes that are identified on my cell phone as a spam risk. How does that fit into this evolving landscape that you're talking about right now?
Well, phone companies are increasingly using analytics to identify potentially fraudulent calls. So if you're seeing a call coming and the caller ID says spam risk, that means that a phone company is suspicious about it, but they didn't feel confident enough to block it. I wouldn't recommend picking up the phone if you see a number like that, but you may want to let it go to voicemail to see if it is legitimate. I think it's just this continuing problem that it's really easy for anyone to input a number into the caller ID to pretend to be someone else. And it's often difficult for phone companies to tell in real time whether or not that's accurate or not. But increasingly, industry is trying to develop new techniques that are more reliable so that you can verify that.
Well, and I was just going to say, based on the spam risk notifications that I get and sometimes answer, it seems like they're doing a pretty good job with my phone of detecting the spam calls. But pivoting to one more outstanding bill that passed the legislature this year, this is a measure designed to ensure telephone providers are cracking down on telemarketers who fake their caller ID number. Can you explain what they're trying to do here and how it fits into the federal landscape?
Sure. So this all relates to the problem of it being really difficult for phone companies to tell in real time whether or not a caller's caller ID is accurate. So increasingly, scammers are inputting incorrect information into the caller ID, pretending to be your bank or pretending to be someone from your same area code that you might know, so you'd be more likely to pick up the phone. And the phone companies won't feel confident about blocking the call because it could be a legitimate call. So over the past 10 years or so, industry has been trying to develop a foolproof way for callers to verify the accuracy of their information, so that any phone company getting that call throughout the call path can tell that this is a legitimate call and to let that go through the phone system. So on the state level, I think there's interest in requiring phone companies to adopt that. And then on the federal level in 2019, a bill was signed into law that would require phone companies to adopt such a system. You really want to do have everybody participating in it to make it as effective as possible. There are some loopholes in the federal law, so I do think there is some value in considering state legislation to help ensure that everyone's participating.
Are there any limitations to the actions New York State can take, whether because the state is limited by federal law that might supersede it, or certain actors are simply outside the state's scope of authority?
Yeah, I think there are many factors to keep in mind. You know, with respect to this caller ID authentication system so that callers can verify the accuracy of their information, because of the interconnected nature of the phone system, you have calls being routed through multiple phone companies before it reaches the recipient. You do want to have all the phone companies participating in it, and some of those entities may be outside of New York. So, you know, you do want to have a federal law to help ensure that as many companies are participating as possible. But again, I do think that having something on the New York state level that's potentially even more comprehensive and plugs with loopholes could be helpful as well.
Is there anything that you're waiting for on the federal level regarding unwanted calls or texts, whether it's regulations that might be taking effect soon or maybe some regulations that are being examined or might be in the works for the future?
Yeah, I mean, robocalls is such a frustrating problem. As consumers know, I mean, we've been working on this issue for years, and it often seems like once you get one policy in place to do something, then the callers are one step ahead. So a lot of the focus these days, the next step after implementing this caller ID authentication system, is creating a system where if a phone company is a bad actor, if they're routing a lot of scam calls knowingly or just not cooperating with efforts to crack down on robocalls, that the other phone companies that, you know, would receive their traffic can say, we're not going to carry your calls anymore to their ultimate destination, to the recipient. So that would incentivize bad actors to be better and stop carrying robocalls. That's occupying a lot of the federal discussion about scam calls, especially with FCC, how to, you know, outline those processes. And then in terms of robocalls from legitimate companies that are incentivized to follow requirements to get consumer consent before robocalling, I mean, there was a recent Supreme Court case that promulgated a very narrow definition of an auto dialer, potentially creating gaps in federal protections over robocalls. So making sure that, you know, all devices and technologies that are currently in use to engage in mass calling and to send those robocalls are covered by a consent requirement is a concern as well.
And finally, I'm curious, is there anything that you do in your, you know, personal life to ward off unwanted texts or calls that you would recommend the listeners take on if they want to avoid some of these nuisances?
Well, I use NomoRobo, which is a service to identify and stop robocalls before they reach the consumer. I've also looked into my phone company's offerings for identifying and blocking those calls. So, you know, I think looking into some of these technologies is something consumers might want to consider. I think you also probably need to block calls one by one through your handset because calls are going to make it through those filters. So it's constantly an effort just to stay ahead. And, you know, when all else fails, I definitely recommend letting calls go to voicemail and not picking it up if you're suspicious, because it could always be a scam. And you may think you're not susceptible to scams, but, you know, these are professionals that are trained to separate, you know, consumers from their money. So you don't want to be vulnerable to them at all.
Well, we've been speaking with Maureen Mahoney. She's a senior policy analyst with Consumer Reports. Maureen, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.